Welcome, everybody, and now it's after 6. It's Wednesday, where we ask you, the listeners, to consider this. Joining us in the studio right now, running for council up in Hamilton Township, is Pat McCourt. Pat, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. It's nice to be here.
Very glad to have you here. I haven't actually seen much of you since the last election, but you've thrown your name and your hat in the ring again. How many times is this for you?
This is my 7th election campaign, and I've had 4 terms on council.
Wow. Okay. That's some longevity.
It gives me a little bit of experience, for sure.
So I'd like to start off with one of the big themes for this election in almost every municipality has been openness and transparency. And I'd like you to speak to how you feel about the record for Hamilton Township over the last 4 years.
I'm very proud of how far the township has come in terms of those areas. I feel like the words are getting tired. People are using them without always living up to them. And the township this time around has spent a lot of time trying to improve public engagement. Our council meetings are now taped, so you can get at them from our website if you're not available to get to a council meeting, which to me, that was something that I initiated because I felt that was very important, that with daytime meetings especially, if you're working, you want to know what your council members said about specific topics. We also started opt-in emails so that people can choose to get a weekly communique. It tells them about road closures, public meetings, things that are happening in the community. Again, trying to it's easy for the public to get to us. They know how to get us through email, through phone, all those things. For us to get the message out, especially with the decline in easy access to media, we have to be more creative to try and get it out
there.
Let's
go back just and unpack a little bit of what you've said, because not everybody, I think, would jump in to agree with the record. For example, yes, it's true, you do now have recordings of the meetings, but as some would say, they're not always posted up. There's meetings that are missing, and it hasn't been they're not always archived fully, and there's concern that not everything's getting out. How do you respond to those kinds of concerns?
I think with anything like that, it's a growing, ongoing process. When we first started, I think the plan was we were trying to keep them on our website, and they were being kept for like a month.
That's right.
Since then, if you look more recently, as long as there's not been technical difficulties, they're consistently posted now for at least several months. I want to say the last time I looked, because it was a problem, and it's still like the technical issue. We don't have a multi-thousand-dollar system in there.
Mm-hmm.
We had to do what was practical. We have a hit counter on our site to see how often mm-hmm. they're accessed. It's about 15 hits a month. Probably half of those are staff and council members. So to justify putting in a super fancy system with great quality so that there's never any issue, it's hard to justify when it's not being used. We're trying to get in slowly. If we find that it's being accessed regularly, then we'll have to look at upgrading.
Another criticism that comes from some corners is that access to information is not always as good as it should be. For example, I know that for quite some time, a list of the roads and the priorities for the roads was a big issue. And people were saying, well, we can't even get a list of the roads and the priorities. How is that good transparency if I can't get simple things like that or other documentation that people require?
So the simple answer, again, is that we have continually been improving. At the beginning of the term, more difficult than now. I believe if you go on the Hamilton Township website, which I see Dave doing, it will show what roads are scheduled to be worked on this year. I think the road needs study is also on there, though I can't guarantee that. If it's not, I know that's something we've talked about doing. Again, we're trying to figure out ways we can meet the needs. We're not going to have all the answers right away.
So one of the things that, and we've heard this from other council candidates in other parts of the county, is there is a disconnect. Now, I know the council is posting their council meetings and what have you, but reaching out to the constituents is just it's a lot more than having a web page. Some of the suggestions we're hearing from other council candidates in other parts of the county are doing things like holding council meetings at different times, maybe outside in the community. Are there places in the community where that can be done? Are there places in Hamilton Township where you can say, you know what? Because, I mean, I remember when the council here in Coburg had a session or two at the mall, for instance, or at the public library, going to places where constituents meet. You know, maybe going to the Lions Center. I don't know if you have a Lions Center up there, but I know you do have – there are a few halls that are located within Hamilton Township where it would just as easily be able to say, okay, so for this week's council meeting, or we're having a special council meeting. I mean, what that says to me as a constituent is that the council is willing to do reach out to try and get more people involved. What I'm hearing from people in various parts of the county is that their concerns are that a lot of the discussion that happens at council meetings are preordained. The council kind of knows before they get together, you know, how the conversation is going to go, where the votes are going to lie. I refer to it as sort of like professional wrestling, right, where decisions are on, and all the stuff that happens in public is for public consumption, but a lot of the stuff that happens has already been preordained. And I think that's a concern that people have when it comes to transparency. So as far as getting out into the community and trying to engage the community that way, is that something that you would suggest if you were reelected to council, and maybe figure out ways to engage the public rather than waiting for them to become engaged?
So my first part of the answer is last term, I was not on council.
Okay.
The term before, we were going out twice a year mm-hmm. to our community halls with council meetings. This term, we have done some, not as much, and we actually have already had the discussion about we let that slack a bit. We were in Baltimore, I think this spring, or might have been late last fall. What we have found, disappointingly, is even when we go out into the community, we always try to attach it to an event. So an example would be in Baltimore, I believe the last one was attached to the win of the Ice Dogs, the, I want to say Pee-wees, but they could be wrong, one of the younger age groups, not... Mm-hmm. So they were getting a special presentation for that. We got the parents out for that one. We had a council meeting in the fall, actually, again in Baltimore for our government day. So we do already do that. We haven't been to Bewdley this time around, which is where there is space for us to also do it. The disadvantage is that those meetings at this point, and there's probably a way around it, but I didn't even think of the problem until recently, so I haven't had a chance to firm up a solution, mm-hmm. is that those ones don't end up being taped. So any decision-making there doesn't end up on the website. That doesn't mean we shouldn't go out into the community, but we need to look at how can we make those things happen. But I honestly think we were one of the first municipalities that did try and take the show on the road.
So one of the things that's been requested by the ratepayers group is to have a question and answer period as part of council. Do you support that?
Honest answer, I have very mixed feelings. I don't think it should be at the end of council. Sometimes those things end up being adversarial. So my limits would be that the question and answer period should be on the topics actually on the council agenda. And I think my preference would be for it to be before the meeting so that there is a contained time limit of this is when we're doing it so that it doesn't end up. Our meetings normally end between 3 and 4. I don't want it to all of a sudden be argumentative. So you don't accomplish anything by that. I would rather have the information given to us, have us have a chance to digest it and think of where we're going. So I think it's harder to put a time limit on the end than it is to put a time limit at the beginning. But I'm not against the idea completely. I just think we need to make sure that it's got a structure.
Isn't that the responsibility? I mean, wouldn't it be the responsibility of the mayor, though, to be able to – I mean, if you can control a meeting, you surely should be able to control if someone asks you a question. Because, again, I get it. There are people who go to council meetings to ask the gotcha questions. And those are people that you would say, you know what? We'll table that for another time. Maybe you can leave something with the clerk and we'll contact you about that. As far as getting into an argument goes, I mean, I used to chair meetings and, it's a simple thing of, okay, you know what? This is inappropriate. This is not the proper venue for this. This is how you respond. Again, and it gets people accustomed to the fact that you can come, you can ask anything. It doesn't have to be on the agenda. But if you are coming there simply to create a forum for yourself so you can say, I got the council, I embarrassed them. then obviously it's up to whoever's running the meeting, right? That's how those things work.
I believe that it can work with a sound structure, which I think is what you're saying. And yes, it would be the mayor's obligation to uphold that structure.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever new council is will most likely be discussing whether or not that's a possibility. Like I said, for me, the structure part of it is important. And what you said about it not being items on agenda, to me, I disagree with that one only because if you've got something that you really want to talk about and that you think is an important item, the way to get it heard properly is to come to Committee of the Whole. And anybody can bring an item to Committee of the Whole. I've talked to two people knocking on doors recently. One gentleman wants to bring forward something about streetlights in his area.
Uh-huh.
Another gentleman coincidentally wants to bring up about lighting, but it's not about his community. It's about the newest things that have been coming up with LED lighting, how there's a better quality still than what we're using that he'd like to suggest is more effective. So I said to him, make an appointment, Committee of the Whole.
Mm-hmm.
That way you've got a 15-minute slot to say your piece and really, really get the conversation. If you're doing it before or after a meeting, you don't get 15 minutes. You know, you might get 5. You're not going to get your point across the same way. So those things should come to Committee of the Whole.
Speaking of committees, that's been something that I know has been called for, is more citizen engagement through the committee system. And I wonder where you stand on the creation of a committee structure where for things like public works, strategic planning, parks and recreation, those kinds of things.
So, again, it very much depends on the committee for me. We're already in the process of putting in a Parks and Recreation Committee. It was part of our master plan strategy that I think came out in the consultant's report came out previous council, and we've been sort of working on different items on it. That was one of the things that had come up, and we've already written up the terms of reference, and it will be primarily community members with two council representatives. So in Parks and Rec, absolutely. I have had people say to me, well, finance should be more the community, and I disagree with that for a very simple reason. I feel that the way we do it now, where we have a public meeting, people can bring forward their concerns, and every single one of those concerns comes to council as a whole, lets us have the public input. But bottom line, if you have a finance committee that's largely made up of community members, and decisions are made based on that, and election time comes, I have the excuse of blaming the committee. I am no longer accountable. And that, I think, like, I am elected to represent township as a whole. So I like the public input, but I don't particularly think that's...
What about public works? What about planning? I mean, environment? There's all kinds of committee. I guess the larger question is getting citizens more engaged in the decision-making process by being able to recommend things to council so that council can consider them that have had citizen input as part of its process.
I think that there is a place and there will be committees. And I, again, we don't want to use the time up going in each individual committee, so we've discussed two. My general feeling is there is a time and place where we do definitely want community involvement. But the flip side of that is that a good example is one of my favorite committees I ever sat on was Old Camborne School Committee. They did great stuff. They got a park put into the area. They got the building utilized. It had one council member. Everyone else was a community member. And last term, when we were trying to get that committee, you have to reapply each year or each term, we got not one single application. Actually, I take it back. We got one. So part of it is you have to have people wanting to be involved in the committees. And sometimes what you get is a specific group that has an agenda, who says, I want to sit on that committee. And all of a sudden you'll have 15 people, but they don't represent the community as a whole. So that's why I'm saying we have to balance it.
Do you think the mayor gets too involved in the day-to-day operations of the township?
We're talking current mayor?
Yeah.
I would say not. I would say that our job as council is very clear that we direct CAO as to the day-to-day operations. And I know that is a complaint some people have made. But from what I have seen, I think that we do that well. If you look at where our township is right now, financially, we have the lowest tax rate in the county. Our road system is pretty good. Like I said, I've knocked on about 500 doors, talked to about 200 people. Not one single person has complained to me about taxes. The system that we're working, though there will be people who say, I don't like this or I don't like that, the system is working.
So when you ran in the last election, one of the key things that you kept raising was integrity. And integrity was integrity and ethics. Has your opinion changed over the last 4 years in working and being on council?
About the importance of that?
About everybody else's integrity and ethics.
Okay. Is that still an issue for you?
I want to know if it's changed since, because you came last time.
When I came in last time, I said very clearly that on many levels, municipal, provincial.
Yeah.
For our council, I think that we've shown very strong ethics. I think that we have a very good moral compass. And I think that we have tried to have shown good civic responsibility. At other levels of government, I'd still like to see a bit more. And I think that there's always room for improvement.
All right. Well, there's one issue I really want a quick answer on, and that is marijuana legalization is happening in 2 weeks, a little less than actually now. The province has given the municipalities the opportunity to opt in or opt out. Now, I just want to know what your position on that. Are you in for opting in or opting out?
So the information I've been able to get so far, and I've got to tell you, trying to get accurate information is very, very difficult. I've heard different people telling me they've heard different things. When I asked the question at the cannabis workshop that I was at, I was told that if you chose to opt out and that the municipalities had a one-time only opportunity to do that, that they would have the chance to opt back in later. I really believe that until they get the bugs worked out is how this is going to work, where stores are going to be located, how it's going to affect policing, that it's in our best interest to opt out and see where everything falls in the end.
Is the concern then that you're not going to be able to decide where those locations are going to be? I mean, as it's, from what I'm hearing from the Premier and from what I'm hearing from the Ontario Cannabis Distribution Service is the municipalities will be the ones who get to set the bylaws of where those stores are located. I mean, right now you can't put a liquor store near a public school either, right? So, I mean, logic would dictate that you wouldn't be able to do that with cannabis retail. But it sounds to me like that's something you don't necessarily believe.
Logic would dictate. I absolutely agree. I would really like to see what comes down in writing in terms of what the municipalities are expected. I cannot even get an answer, and I've asked the question at several different places. When they talk about municipal opt-in and opt-out, whether that's a decision made by the county or the local municipalities. And then one of the answers I got was, well, the county and the municipalities should talk it over together and decide what's best. So it sounds like it's a little bit loose.
Yeah.
And I don't want to opt in, knowing that once you opt in, you're not going to be able to opt out. Like it doesn't work the other
right.
way. Once you've got stores in place, you can't say, hey, gee, guess what? You're going to have to close down.
Yeah.
So I would much rather be conservative on that one.
Okay, so last question, really quickly, 30 seconds or less. Why should I vote for you? Why am I voting for Pat McCourt?
As far as I'm concerned, because the importance is character. You want to vote for people who are going to be doing research. You want to vote for people that are paying attention. We've just had a change in government. It is going to have impacts on the municipality. You want somebody who is experienced enough to know what to look for. And that you know that if you phone and ask for an answer, they'll give you the answer even if it's what you don't want to hear.
Wow. So there you go. Honesty, integrity. Pat McCourt, also she has experience as well. Someone to consider, obviously, when you're casting your ballot in Hamilton Township. You'll be doing that online this year as well through IntelliVote. So welcome to the 21st century up in Hamilton Township. Thanks to Pat McCourt. Thanks to Rob Washburn. We'll take our break. When we come back, Anthony Caruso will be joining us in the studio. I'm Dave Glover. It's After 6 on a Wednesday. We're asking you, the listeners, to consider this.
Reach us on social media. Go to facebook.com/Northumberland897 or on Twitter at @TrulyLocal897.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Heather.
We own All Creatures Great and Small,
your natural pet care specialists.
You've probably noticed that raw food for pets is everywhere now.
We're not surprised.
We've been feeding raw and educating about the benefits for the last 18 years.
To ensure your pets are getting a balanced raw food diet
with the supplementation they need,
come see us. We've got the knowledge
and the experience. All Creatures Great and Small, your raw food experts, 7 days a week in downtown Coburg.
And don't forget, like us on Facebook.
Vote for seniors in Port Hope. Vote for the future of long-term.